Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, folks, it is now or never. I know I lecture and I go over and over and over why it is now or never. And I'm maintaining a positive outlook. I'm trying to always be the consummate optimist. Now, with that all said, I hope you start understanding that, you know, they actually have a plan and they are succeeding because they have a plan. What is our plan? Well, I think our plan is kind of simple. We have to restore, we have to undo what they're doing, and the place we have to undo it first is at the local level. And the plan, to me, is pretty simple. It is straightforward, and it only makes sense. But the big part of our success is uniting. We actually have to start uniting. We actually have to get conservatives to put aside their self-interest and their differences and actually start uniting. You know, there's way too many people here that claim to be Christians that we refuse to actually work with other people who claim to be Christians as well, or even people who claim to be non-Christian, but all love and support liberty. We are killing ourselves. And this, it just eats me alive. Nine times out of ten, when I start talking to somebody regarding religion and how we're so divided and how it is only proven that we today are more divided today than our framers were. Now, I want to make this clear. There are two states that were created back in the days of the colonists that actually were created because of the division over religion and doctrine. The Puritans would not have any deviation or false doctrine taught within Massachusetts or New England. And so they basically ran out, and if you want to read my book, I talk about it. I talk about the two individuals that went and founded new religions. One of them was the Baptist religion. The fact is, folks, that we are, you know, even though we look at that historically and see how far they were divided, because these states were literally doctrinal states. They were unique faiths of Christianity. But they were willing to put aside their differences and work with these heathens of other faiths and religions. But we can't even do that. We can't even do that in our own neighborhood. And that's what's just killing us. That is killing us. So as we move forward, I'm hoping to get the time. It's been really tough these past couple of weeks, just having family come in. And by the way, I have not finished. I need to get them finished this week. The two petitions, one for the invasion and the other one for the UN and getting us out of unconstitutional entanglements that the federal government has no authority to do. If we're going to start actually complying to the Constitution, we absolutely need to start following and actually supporting these petitions. And so we're hoping, and actually I think we're going to be creating a collective effort by including a few different states in getting them involved in creating petitions that we can use across the United States. There's hundreds of petitions that can be done, and we want to make every single one of them relevant so that everybody can start holding our government accountable. Bottom line, folks, it's well overdue that we actually get in the face of our government and call them out and say, we know what you're doing, you have no business doing it, and we're getting rid of you. And we're going to get rid of you because we're going to identify every single one of your shortfalls. Now, I'm not sure how many people have ever gone through on the administrative side of a PIP, a performance improvement plan. When you have an employee that is underperforming, then what you have to do is you have to sit down and you have to document all of the things that they're underperforming. And you have to set up, you know, basically objectives, and you have to basically, you know, create milestones and so forth. By a certain time, they need to be doing this and this and this and so forth and so on. We need to put our public servants on notice that they are now on a performance improvement plan. Either they fulfill their oath of office, or we're going to be getting rid of them. And if we as the employers, we as the voters, we of the people of these local communities and counties and so forth, actually stand up and say, this is what we demand, guess what? They're going to start doing it. And as a matter of fact, one of the following things in our demands is kind of like our exit criteria. The exit criteria is that we have actually an appointed and supported militia, that we have common law courts restored, and that we have the mechanisms in place to be able, as the people, to be able to remove public servants without having to go pretty please or waiting till the election. The law of the land clearly states that any public servant that violates their oath of office is to be removed immediately for violating their oath, that they can no longer serve because they've committed moral perjury. And in so doing, they are to be removed and banned. And so why is it that we, the people, do not have the ability to pull the trigger on that? I can tell you right now, we've left it to our public servants to kind of police themselves, and look at what we have. We have a den of thieves. Even our conservatives are out there voting away and making compromises with your liberties and the Constitution. They have no authority to do that, folks. And as we've pointed out, there are entities that are working and they're organized in taking us down. That's why I shared yesterday with you the Planners Network and the other networks that spawn off of this, that they're all feeding each other. They're actually getting themselves into jobs where they're making six-digit salaries. Folks, do you realize what's going on? We're this close. I can't say enough about how close we really are. So with that, let's just go ahead and plow forward into the obligatories, because this show is still sponsored by republicreview.org, and it still is the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Have you got your prescription, your subscription, and a prescription for the solution in providing and actually moving forward in providing content, constitutional content, for your local community? The best way to do that is check out the Wyoming Constitutional Chronicle. Get yourself a subscription to that. And actually, I said constitutional. It's the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. See, a long time ago, I threw that name out there, and it just stuck in my head. And so sometimes, you know, I tell you, I'm not the best with names. And then when all of a sudden a name just rings, you know, or something like that, and it's not really the name, then I just have a hard time not saying the real name, and I go with the name that I created. Anyway, it's not good, and I apologize to the good people at the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. Anyway, as you know, constitutional education is critical, and constitutioneducation.us is a great place to go. Let me point out to you that the guy that generates that, I mean, this is a... an old friend, and when I say old, he is old. He is retired. Not that he's retired, but I mean, he's so old he can't work. He's legally blind. He's doing everything he can to try to, yeah, and you'll probably notice that there may be some misspellings and so forth. The guy's legally blind, and he's out there trying to make a difference in providing constitution education, because this guy does understand, and he still has a vibrant mind. And we Keith Broders and I engage in great dialogue and discourse, and it's always educational for both of us. And so I he's truly a friend. He is a good man. He's a better man than I. But let me just say this, that he needs your support, and he has a donate button for people to help donate. If you use his education, and I plead with you, to, you know, use some of his stuff for your organization. Get out there and grab some of his questionnaires, some of his little videos, what have you, and utilize that to help educate your group. And, you know, if they go, hey, well, you know, who did this? I mean, they misspelled some words or something. Just let those folks know that the guy that's doing this is legally blind, and he's doing everything he can to help. And so, you know, 9 times out of 10, when we put things into that kind of perspective, it really helps us kind of, you know, take on that, you know, that little humility check to say, you know, wow, I hope I can be equally contributive and positive, you know, at that age with those types of infirmities or those types of problems or what have you. And the guy's a fighter. I mean, he's going to go to his grave fighting for liberty, because that's that kind of man. That's his resolve. Anyway, in addition, Ad Local has turnkey solutions for candidates for your website. Go price websites for campaigns. $2,500 is a very reasonable. They also provide you other web domains and services and so forth. Check out Ad Local. Get yourself started, especially if you don't know how to set up your own domain, go set up your hosting, do all of the things technically you need to do, or even your own, even if it's just your email, even if you want to create your own domain and email and then have email services, Ad Local will make it easy. They'll make it affordable if you can't do these things for yourself. And then once you basically hand this off to them, you'll be able to, you know, start moving forward with relevance to your own domain. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, yes, I can't emphasize enough that comment line. So if you have a question, just give us a call, 425-270-5416. Now, we were covering these issues, or actually, to be clear and to be concise, the comprehensive constitutional positions to campaign on for county, state, and federal elections. This is what everybody needs to be aware of, and these are the positions we actually have to hold and hold dearly. So anyway, where we left off is we were basically going through citizenship and being born a citizen and the naturalization of a citizen. And again, you know, I'm going to kind of cover some ground here, but actually, if you go to I think it's CIS.org, Citizen Immigration Service or something like that. Or actually, I've cited this in one of my articles because in my second article, no, it was my third article in The Unseen Teeth in the Constitution. Yes, it's in that article. They actually talk about apportionment and the counting of citizens and the constitutional requirement that we're not supposed to be counting illegal aliens or non-citizens, period. I mean, if you've got a visa, if you have an immigration card, you're in the immigration process, you're still not to be counted for apportionment. Apportionment is only to be used for those citizens. Only a U.S. citizen has right of representation. And so we do have a lot of people out there that are obtaining access to representation when they shouldn't be. Just like lobbyists shouldn't have access to your representation. Those folks are to represent you, and their job is to support the Constitution, and it is your job to make sure that they support this. This is why, this really clarifies everything, folks. What you have to do is you have to demand that they comply to the Constitution. And the best way to do that is to point out every way they're violating the Constitution. And whether they give a rat's behind or not, doesn't matter. We're going to hold them accountable, and we're going to basically bury them with all the evidence of how they have failed us, and we're going to get people in office. So now's the time for your two-year strategy. You don't have somebody planned to take the position. Get yourself ready or get somebody else ready. You got 2 years to the next election. Yeah, I'm already planning on the next election because this election, I've been telling you, now we got to vote for and support those who we do have in the cycle that we got this year. Now, we have some people in Wyoming. We have some people in some of the other states that are still in play in primaries. Like in Washington State, there's somebody that's challenging this resident of the swamp, Jacqueline Maycumber, and she's being challenged by a person that wants to take a constitutional position, but actually he's coming across more of a conservative. He's going to be, I'm more conservative than her. Well, if that's going to be your position, then I would rather vote for the Democrat. I think sometimes we need to suffer a little bit to actually prove, and I'm going to tell you that a Democrat will work harder in that position to actually appease and do the things that they should be doing because they'll want to keep that job. This is why we have mansions. This is why we have that gal in Arizona that's been taking a stand against the illegals and so forth, and how she's actually taking heat from them because they said, hey, we put you in office. But she basically, her position is, I can't ignore the majority of the other people of this state. If I want to get reelected, I need their support. I can't plan on you guys, because hopefully we'll actually get our act together and we'll no longer allow illegal aliens to have access or to vote or any of these things in America anymore. It's just repugnant to a Republican form of government to allow these types of things. Anyway, so we've already gone through the 14th Amendment, but I want to state this again as we move forward. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. So in other words, they right here, anybody that tells you that it takes away the citizenship of a state, it just tells you right there that they are citizens of the United States and the state where they reside. So is some of this spinning that the sovereign citizen movements have, because they look at this and they go, that's right there, that's where they've subjugated us. No, that doesn't exist. That language that they're trying to assert is not applicable. You won't find what they're telling you in the 14th Amendment. It doesn't exist. But what they do state here is subject to the jurisdiction. The whole point is that this was designed to allow blacks to instantly become citizens because they were subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. In other words, when they were brought here and they were born here, because at this point in time, they were subject to the laws. They were subject to this, even in the Constitution, it created a layer of protection and or subjection to, because they were granted representation by 3/5, and they were also identified as, and unfortunately, the states were identifying them as property, but the reality is that they were identified as one who fell under the jurisdiction of both the United States and the states. And so because they had laws that fell under that jurisdiction of managing and regulating labor, unfortunately, the way they did, it actually gave them that language right there, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, are citizens of the United States. The reason they did this is because the Supreme Court and Chief Justice Taney made a ruling in the Dred Scott case that they weren't under the jurisdiction of the United States, that they could not become citizens and they could not vote. And that is just, it just hurts my head that he would make those types of assertions, other than the fact that he was a pro-slavery guy. He's the one that ended the freedom that was granted to Dred Scott by a jury of white peers in Missouri, and then all of a sudden the Supreme Court slapped him back into slavery. Now, I believe Dred Scott ended up moving north again and then obtaining his freedom, but still, the Supreme Court has blood on their hands for the positions that they've constantly created. The fact that they've supported unconstitutional laws like Jim Crow laws and or separate but equal type of doctrine, are you kidding me? They have no business, they had no jurisdiction over those issues. And this is why the court is absolutely corrupt. If you have any faith in the court system, all I have is we have to continue to put the spotlight on the court. And one way of doing this is by using this lawsuit to remove the Biden administration, because bottom line, it is a hands down, this is what has to happen. This is what the Constitution clearly states. That's what should have happened on January 6, 2021. And getting the Supreme Court under the spotlight and getting them to dance out of doing this is going to prove one thing, that they no longer recognize the Constitution. We've got all sorts of evidence. This becomes another glaring piece of evidence that proves that they do not support the Constitution. Ah, but they're throwing you a bone by making you think that there might be this overturning of Roe v. Wade. Folks, you know what? Don't believe it. And as a matter of fact, they know what's being played here. And I believe that it's just a churning in the barrel for the next evolution of even a worse law to get put into place. But let me move forward. Children born to non-citizens who's under the jurisdiction of a foreign nation are not and cannot be citizens of the United States, nor a citizen of a state in the Union. They are foreign invaders along with their parents, if they're an invader, even if they're here on immigration status. Until they become U.S. citizens, they are not, and their children cannot be citizens. Thinking a child can be separated from their parents at birth over citizenship completely undermines the parental rights and, you know, the order ordained through society by our Creator. I mean, throughout history, the responsibility of a child falls upon the parent, not the state. The parents are to be, you know, held accountable for their children, but the children are not to be held accountable by the state. The parents have always been that mediator or arbiter between, you know, the state and the state laws and so forth, and ensuring that the children learn the laws and learn, you know, God's laws and to walk in the path of God. I mean, that's a parent's responsibility. The children do not instantly become sovereign, emancipated citizens at birth. They're not capable of that. We all understand these things. And it is just, it's repugnant to think that a child could actually be a citizen of another nation while the parents are citizens of a, you know, a different nation. Anyway, so the 14th Amendment, and this is another important part of all of this. The 14th Amendment helps clarify, because even though it really points to citizens and the blacks in apportionment, it also lays the line on citizenship, because voting is a U.S. citizen's right, not a foreigner's right in American elections. So when we come back, we'll get into Section 2 of the 14th Amendment. We'll be right back after this. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so to be clear, Section 2 of the 14th Amendment really helps clarify the apportionment and the importance of apportionment and representation. It changed. See, the way they apply apportionment and the way they try to define apportionment is by the generic labeling or the generic information within the Constitution in Article 1. Well, folks, if you didn't know, Section 2 of the 14th Amendment amended that process and how it was to be defined and applied. And this is what it says. Representatives shall be apportioned among the several states according to their respective numbers, counting the whole number of persons in each state, excluding Indians not taxed. In other words, there are Indians that are taxed, there are Indians that are actually working and so forth, but Indians not taxed. And I don't think that there is an Indian in America today that's not taxed. But when the right to vote at any election for the choice of electors for president and vice president of the United States, representatives in Congress, the executive and the judicial officers of a state, or the members of the legislature thereof is denied to any of the male inhabitants of such state. So just change this, because some of the language changes as we start talking about the allowance of who can vote, right? Nowadays, it's anybody 18 years of age and older. So it's not just gender here. So if I just change the words here, is denied to any of the inhabitants 18 years or older of this of such state, being 21, and then they say 21 years of age because that was another age requirement. So you had to be male and 21 years of age. And here it is right here. And citizens of the United States or in any way abridged except for participation in rebellion or other crime. In other words, if you commit a crime, then your voting privileges are revoked. If you commit a rebellion or anything like that, the basis of representation therein shall be reduced in the proportion which the number of such citizens, it says male citizens, shall bear to the whole number of male citizens 21 years of age in such state, or any person 18 years of age and older. So, in other words, if the states go down the path of trying to, you know, disparage or keep anybody from voting that is a U.S. citizen, then they shall lose apportionment. Now, it says U.S. citizen. There's no apportionment whatsoever for anybody that is not a U.S. citizen. So they really clarify that the citizenship is those people who are entitled to representation in our government, not non-citizens, only U.S. citizens. And so why is it that we have 11 million invaders over that now, over 11 million invaders in California that are receiving representation? Folks, if you really look at how that breaks out, I bring this up because this was in the article that I talked about. That 11 million actually provides some like 12, maybe 13 representatives that should be distributed out to some of the, you know, the hinterland states like Ohio, Iowa, if I remember correctly. And you know what? When we go into this next break, I'll actually pull up the table so I can actually give you where the states are that actually have, you know, apportionment for illegals and how we need to redefine that and how it would have been redistributed. This article goes back to, I think, 2019, 2018. Since then, with the Biden administration pouring and opening up the doors, there are more and more illegals that are being spread across the United States. And it is granting more and more apportionment, stealing your government from you. Do you understand what they're doing? If remember, Madison said, if you have property, if you have rights in your property, then you can equally state that you have property in your rights. In other words, when they're taking your rights of representation away, they're stealing your property. They're stealing your property every time they do these things to you. And so it may not seem like they're ripping things out of your hand, but they are. And they know what they're doing, and they're executing a very well orchestrated plan in destroying liberty. And actually, just be clear, they're out to kill billions of people. And if they can obtain full control, they will. And, you know, the 330 some odd million people that happen to reside in the area we call the United States, you know, we're equally at game. We're equally at risk of dying. And that's not hyperbole. That is just basically presenting the facts to you. Now, the nice thing is, as we move through these issues, you know, that I'm going through, that I've been going through for the past month, we're getting to a point where we're actually having these very single issues that we'll maybe, you know, we'll be able to brush over really quickly, such as religious tests, such as public servants' oaths, such as insurrections and invasions, and defining these very specific little things. And we'll be able to go through these things really quickly so that we'll be able to wrap up, hopefully, within the next week or two, so that we can get into the ratification debates. So, as we move forward, I just want you to understand that we cannot allow the federal government to continue to count illegals as people that deserve and have a right to apportionment. So moving into the next phase of citizenship is apportionment and census. Apportionment was broadly defined in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, as stated. representatives and directs taxes shall be apportioned among the several states which may be included within this union according to their representative numbers, which shall be determined by adding the whole number of free persons, including those bound for service for a term, and excluding Indians not taxed, 3/5 of all other persons. So that meant the slaves. Apportionment was further defined in the 14th Amendment, and I just went through this, so I'm not going to reread this, but apportionment, they redefined this to say you had to be a U.S. citizen, or you lose your apportionment for anybody that you take away voting rights for U.S. citizens. Again, states can and deny people voting rights because they have committed a crime. It's right there in the Constitution that they should lose their voting rights. I truly believe that anybody that is engaged in voter fraud and or election fraud should never be, they should lose their citizenship and they should lose permanently their voting rights. I don't care. That, you know, when they go into something as sacred as our representation, that's it. We can't tolerate it anymore. So moving a little bit further forward into, you know, this appropriation of Senate, this clearly restricts foreigners or invaders, illegal aliens, from obtaining representation, thus denying them the ability to participate in our political processes. Any actions in our political processes by a foreigner should be simply defined as foreign influence, and the because this goes back to the elections and making elections local. If you miss that, you've missed one of the most important shows in how we restore our elections and election integrity. We have to make them local. We cannot allow foreigners. When I say a foreigner, if you live in King County and Skagit County is next to you, and Skagit County is trying to influence those voters in King County or vice versa, they're foreigners. They have no business, they have no representation, they have no right of representation in that neighboring county. They should not be allowed to inject themselves into that. What's the difference between a neighboring county or a neighboring country or a country all the way across the world? If you don't have skin in the game, you're not a resident and you don't live there, and it's not your right of representation, you have no business contributing, endorsing, or doing anything. As I talk about this, it's one thing for anybody to talk about the merits of a person or a measure or an initiative on the ballot regarding the Constitution. But when you start promoting one person over the other, then that's different. I mean, it's one thing. Let's say you got a race and you've got two candidates. It's one thing to identify and break out the constitutionality or how this person supports this part of the Constitution, this person doesn't support the Constitution at all. That's not endorsing one person or the other. It is objectively laying out how well they would be as a public servant. Because remember, the criteria for somebody to maintain public service is their ability to support the Constitution. They fail to support the Constitution, they're gone. And we've got to get rid of them. And it's that simple, folks. We've got to get rid of them. So we have a few petitions here. And this is petitions. Actually, there's a couple of petitions we've skimmed over. We really haven't filled in, like common law and a few others. And so what we want to do is just kind of highlight the petitions that need to be applied to help us restore a part of our election integrity. So we have to petition our county commissioners to demand that the state stops counting non-citizens in the census to comply with Section 2 of the 14th Amendment, as well as the Constitution and how we've defined what a U.S. citizen is. It's clear, not just in the 14.2, in the second section of the 14th Amendment, we need to cite every single one of the election amendments, which is, you know, the amendment that allowed women to vote, allowed 18-year-olds, all of these different amendments. Every single one of them stipulated that they must be a U.S. citizen. So why is it that we're counting apportionment and counting illegals and giving them apportionment? And maybe it's okay to count and have a census of it, but not to include them in apportionment, because it's, I think, very important to understand how many invaders we have here. That way we can move forward. We'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, as promised, I've got the article here. And the institution, and again, this was found, and you can find this information, in my article, The Unseen Teeth in the Constitution. Now, let me make sure. The Unknown Teeth in the Constitution. And so, in this article, there are tables, and if you look at Table 2, it identifies the states that have a disproportionate apportionment of non-citizens. In other words, how they're getting representation, and the states that are hurting the most over this. Okay, so folks, listen to this. California has 11 extra seats that they command in Congress because of illegals. And this was based in prior to 2020. Now, they're looking at scenarios, and I believe it's probably even higher than that now, because most U.S. citizens have been vacating since 2020, and even before then have been leaving. So I don't believe that, you know, it's 11. It may be 12 or 13. But the fact is that they have 11. Now, the next state has the most, we're going from the most down to the least amount of apportionments of seats, Texas has 4. Now, why does Texas have 4? Because they're right there on the border. And it's just, they get trapped, and there's lots of, let's call them ideologues that are close to the border that have moved down there to help them operate and help them infiltrate and become a part of the process. It's not because Governor Abbott and the Bush didn't mind allowing them to get themselves buried and into the shadows in Texas. Bush is a globalist. He wants to see this overturning of our Constitution. Yeah, that's right. I'm telling you, Bush is a globalist communist. This is why, you know, these people need to be absolutely impeached and removed from their emoluments so that they no longer have the, you know, Secret Service. They no longer have any of the privileges that a former president should have. Now, so we've talked about this. Can you impeach a former president? Absolutely. because impeachment is only removing the position, the emolument from them. And when we created the Constitution, there was no such thing as a former president and emoluments to a former president. Well, now we have them, which means that the impeachment process is absolutely applicable. Impeachment is not a criminal proceeding. It is a process to remove the emoluments, right? So the impeachment process basically says this person violated their oath of office. So it doesn't matter when we finally hold them accountable, and we can easily find all sorts of dirt on every single president out there. And we need to start with the old ones first, such as Carter. Carter needs to lose his detail. Carter needs to be removed out of his skimming off the American public. And same thing with Bush, or actually Clinton, then Bush, then Obama, and then we can talk about Trump. But the fact is, we have to start with those who've been draining us the most and who actually don't deserve it. Clinton did the worst. I mean, that man committed treason. And I'll tell you that if we actually expose all of his crimes like we're going to do with every public servant with these petitions, I am here to tell you that he will stand trial for treason, and he will probably, he won't die a natural cause. He'll probably, based on the law, he'll probably die from being hanged, because that's what you do with people who are treasonous, traitors. Anywho, back to the states. So Texas is next. Then you'll find the rest of these states kind of interesting. New York, there are four representatives that New York gets because all the illegals that they harbor there. Florida is another one. They have three. Now, again, because it is an entry state, you know, you'll find that probably Arizona should be listed on this, but they're not. But they will be now, and Nevada will be as we start looking, because as these states start gravitating towards allowing and tolerating, because remember, Arizona was huge against having illegals in their state. Now they're silent. And now they've taken over, and now we see that that state is turning blue. Texas is on its way to turning blue. I have family that says, I want to move to Texas. I said, you realize you're moving into a blue state. You need to get to the state just next to it, Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma. I mean, those are red states, and they'll stay that way as long as good, you know, constitutionalists move, I was going to say conservative, move into those states. Anyway. Florida, then New Jersey. So Florida has three. Of course, California and Texas have four. And New Jersey has two. Illinois has one. And Massachusetts. Now, interesting, most of these states that are on the interior, they're really liberal states. I mean, I can understand Florida and Texas because they're border states. But how in Illinois is it that we have, you know, a whole bunch of illegals that have misapportioned representation for the state of Illinois? It's because of their policies. Based on this, and if you actually add it all up, because it's over 750,000 persons for each head, and the seats affected based on this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then we've got 11 on top of that. That's 18 with 8 to add. That's 26 seats, and it's only getting worse, folks. It's only getting worse. Now, the states that are being robbed of apportionment, Ohio, they're missing three. Michigan is missing two. Pennsylvania, you're missing two. Alabama, one. Idaho, you're missing one. Minnesota's missing one. Missouri is missing one. Do you understand, folks? If you start going through this, Tennessee's missing one. West Virginia is missing one. So this apportionment and demanding that the apportionment be given and granted only in accordance with the Constitution, that only U.S. citizens have a right of representation and apportionment, period. And so we can keep on going. North Carolina, Oklahoma's missing one. Utah's missing one. Most of these are red states that are missing one. Do you believe, when you're looking at 26 seats and the majority of all of these, as I look at every single one, Minnesota's blue. Let me go through. Rhode Island is blue. And let me see what any other ones on this list might be blue. Well, Wisconsin's kind of purplish, you know, they're kind of there. So out of all of the 26, red states would benefit over 20 seats. It would literally flip. This would literally flip the composition of Congress by actually applying and following the Constitution. So do you believe that these people know what they're doing in basically undermining our Constitution and our process, and you see how they're having these effects on our everyday lives of what they're doing? Folks, now or never, right? I can't say it enough. Anyway, so any action in our political process by foreigners should simply be defined as foreign influence, and the individual must be deported and banned from entering the United States again. As a matter of fact, when I say foreign influence, I mean foreign influence from another county by a U.S. citizen. We can no longer tolerate people that are undermining the integrity of our government and the integrity of our election process. We have to start labeling. You become a foreigner when it comes to anything in an area of election. You have no right to, you know, you have no dog in that fight. You're not a stakeholder. You're not a party in that, or as a resident or a player, period. You can't play. So we have to start holding these. And so I believe that that's where we need to go. We actually need to deport and ban these folks. A foreign effort to influence our political process and government is political warfare, and it cannot be tolerated. And what we have now coming across our southern border is political warfare. It's plain and simple. We must stop. And so here are the petitions. We have to petition to stop counting non-citizens in the census for apportionment and including them as apportionments, as we're doing, and we must realign apportionment based on U.S. citizens and U.S. citizens alone. It was Carter that did this. As a matter of fact, Carter committed treason in doing this. Just so you understand, Carter was the one that went behind all of this. It went behind everybody, you know, and basically started subverting our constitutional process. The next petition: we must provide clarity regarding a natural-born citizen by using a common law grand jury in different states. And we need to have a multitude of these, because what ends up happening is, as you have all of these different counties performing these common law grand juries and people defining what a U.S. citizen is, it really closes the issue. Because as you have the majority of the people who have spoken throughout your state, if the state says, well, we don't buy that, folks, that's basically kicking your own people in the teeth and saying, we're not going to listen to you. We're going to continue subverting and doing these things. Folks, that's what they do. That's what they've been doing. And why is it that we keep electing these conservatives? Because in your red states that are allowing this crap to happen, are you kidding me? Seriously, are you kidding me? Why is it that we are allowing, why are all of these red states allowing themselves to be robbed of representation? This doesn't make sense, other than the fact that the rhinos and these illiterate folks that have been elected into your state offices are just, they're allowing all of this to happen. Because why? Oh, they're at that trough of power and they're making some money. Oh, folks, they're making money off of your back as this ship goes down. That's how evil they are. They don't deserve another trip in office. We need to get rid of them, and that's what we're here about. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in
in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.